What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
It's time once again to be chatting to Ross Clifford. Ross is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Rodney.
And how's your week been?
Oh, it's been a busy week. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot on. And, of course, a lot of concern still being expressed for the victims of the bushfires, etc. So, busy week in life, but also busy just trying to see how we can support and care for people who have been just incredibly hurt and set back through the disasters across Australia.
Now, an interesting topic today, and that is we're focusing on animals, but it's in relation to something that's been put out by a group of lawyers.
Yeah, look, it's come out from the Young Lawyers in New South Wales, and I think you'll find that other young lawyers are picking this up around the country. There's courses now in university on animal law. It's not just for lawyers, it's for all sorts of people. What are the rights of animals? How do we care for animals? What's our response to animals? And sadly, Rodney, it's got a fair bit of airplay because one of the things that happened out of the Victorian bushfires is a lot of pets were left without, their support. I mean, you know, what happened is that their owners died in the bushfires, but the pets survived. And so it really did focus what young lawyers have been saying, that all of us who have pets have a responsibility to make sure that either in our wills or with our loved ones, we give clear direction what is to happen to our pets, because we face a major problem now with people dying in tragedies or of old age and pets left uncared for and people not knowing what to do with pets. And we have something like 30 million pets in Australia. We're one of the major pet countries in the world, and we need to take it seriously. If we're going to have pets, we need to take it seriously.
Well, none of us want to go down the road of considering animals as equal or better than humans. So I suppose we need to say, you know, where does this begin and end? What really is our responsibility to animals? When we start to look at it in the grand scheme of things, what really should we be doing?
Well, look, let me say, yeah, I agree with you that, humans come first and must always. But what many of us would not know is that William Wilberforce, who's a great Christian reformer, the man who helped the world see that human beings can never be slaves and got us removed from the slave trade, was also the co-founder and a leader in the establishment of the RSPCA. And he saw that spiritual people, people of goodwill, people of God, not only understood that God cared for human beings, he cared for his whole creation in the right order, of course. So it's part of our tradition, Rodney. It's part of our tradition to seriously consider our animals and the pets that we've taken upon ourselves, to seriously consider them. You know, God's created all things and we've got a responsibility. So look, the young lawyers are saying there are a couple of things we should do, and perhaps I could mention those if you think that would be helpful.
Well, certainly, because I imagine that when we're talking about leaving something behind in our wills for animals, suddenly we have these memories of reading news stories where some woman has left, you know, $3 million to her cat and these sorts of ridiculous things. And that's not what we're talking about here, is it?
Absolutely not. That offends all of us. some extraordinary stories you read, particularly from America. Now, we're not talking about that. Look, some of the things that they suggest, either in your will or make clear to those who will, you know, administer your estate or take care of things for you. One of the things is that you can leave a small legacy to a friend or relative on the understanding that they'd look after your pet. And, of course, you've talked that through with them. So a small legacy to cover vets and food and whatever. The other thing that you can do, which many people don't know, is you can approach animal charities like the RSPCA. And if you leave them a small legacy, then they will make provision to look after your pet. So that's a very interesting way of proceeding. And, of course, you know, by doing that, you're helping a group like the RSPCA. And a third thing that many of us need to consider, and that is euthanasia. Because of the age of the pet, or, you know, the pet will just not mix with other people, whether the fairest thing is to actually give that direction in your will or to your loved ones. So everybody knows, no one is without doubt, what you think is the best for your pet, and they can put that process into place. So the animal legacy with a charity like RSPCA, and on the basis they look after your pet, euthanasia, or leaving a small amount with a friend or loved one, you put it in your will or can tell them about it so they look after your pet. And what the young lawyers are saying, with 30 million pets in this country, we have an obligation to show that we are a country that does the right thing there. And I would say, as Christians and people of goodwill, God would expect that of us. If we really do care for his creation, then like William Wilberforce, we've got to put our hand up and show that in practical ways.
And I suppose, knowing that pets have a shorter lifespan than humans, we would perhaps put something in a will or with friends that whatever pet I have when I pass away, rather than naming Tibby in the will, and then when it comes time for us to pass away, it's then Fluffy or whoever the pet might be. We just need to say, you know, whatever pet that I have at that time.
Yeah, good idea. You going to do it, Rodney? You've got a few pets, I assume.
Well, we do have a cat.
And, there you go. It may be, and you see, you know, if we've got parents as well, and we know our parents are considering, you know, having a dog or a pet or a cat, they've got one, and we know, you know, they could be 60 or whatever, there's a real chance that they'll outlive them. The pets will outlive, our parents. So, you know, we want to know what's going on here and what they really anticipate of us, but could happen to any of us, as the bushfires showed. I just think it's a sensible thing to do. Responsible, gets pets away from the pound, easier to put in place, and looks like a civilised society, knowing its responsibility to all of God's creation. So I say good on you to the young lawyers, and good on to people like the public trustees are putting this into place, and good on to the universities that are running courses on, you know, animal responsibility. I think, you know, good to do.
Rodney Olsen here talking to Ross Clifford, and today we're talking animals, talking about leaving something behind for our animals in our will, or letting friends or family know what we would like done with our pets if we should pass on. It's an interesting topic, Ross.
It is, and Rodney, it just really comes up to the question as well. I mean, whether our pets have some sort of eternal status with God. I don't know what you think about that, but I'm a bit sus about it, but I really do think that we need to bear in mind that the biblical pictures of eternity that we're given in the Bible clearly have animals, and clearly present a picture of God restoring all that we know and all that is good. So I'm not quite sure that if my individual Snoopy is up there, but I get a sense that heaven and eternity is surrounded by the good things of life, including pets. C.S. Lewis points it out in his book, The Last Battle, where the child heroes meet their animals in the New Kingdom. And he's got that lovely line, "For no good thing is ever lost."
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept, because most of the time we, I guess, come down with this idea that, animals certainly don't go on to an afterlife, that humans are the only ones with a soul. So I guess we've got to balance that up. But you're saying we can't necessarily be sure.
Well, if you look at, for example, Ecclesiastes, a book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 18 to 21, where it ponders about animals, do the spirits go upwards or downwards? It sort of says, who knows? The Bible doesn't make it clear. But Romans 8 teaches God, the whole of creation is groaning for God's redemption and God's restoration. So Ecclesiastes is kind of saying we don't really know. The biblical pictures are of animals in eternity, and Romans 8 talks about the whole of creation being restored, what is lost regained. And I think C.S. Lewis has picked up that imagery. So there's no reason why we can't have some sort of confidence that biblically God is concerned about all of his creation, including, you know, those parts of creation that have become pets and in the animal world and whatever. So it sort of doubly, you know, emphasises our need to be responsible people. But I agree with you, Rodney, don't leave the 3 million to the cat. And please, you know, 27,000 is kids die every day from malnutrition around our world. Let's be responsible and sensible about how much money we spend on our animals and our pets in light of the human suffering around the world. But having said all that, we can still be sensible how we care for our animals, our pets, and make provision for them. I think it's a good thing to do, sensible. Leave it in your will. Let your friends know, family know. Do you want them euthanized? Do you want them cared for by an animal charity? Make that provision. And, we're making the world a better place and not filling up the pounds. And we see, as I said, in Victoria, when a tragedy like that can happen, all these pets are left and people are asking, what do we do?
Very good. Now, this time next week, an interesting topic.
Yeah, totally different. Personality types and faith. You know, a certain personality types drawn to faith more than others, and a certain personality types drawn to a certain type of faith or kind of faith or kind of church. You know, in your church, are there certain personality types against other personality types who are not found in church or found in another denomination? How much play does personality types play on faith and where we go to church or don't go to church?
And that could have big ramifications on our search for spirituality, so I'm looking forward to talking about that. We're going to catch up around this time next week. Ross, thank you so much for your company today.
God bless you, my friend.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.